We're in Romans chapter 1 this morning, and we're in the final verses, the last four verses of Romans chapter 1 today, beginning at verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. By the way, there's a comma after word proud. There is no comma there. It's proud boasters. That's one word in the Greek language. Proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask for thy special blessing today as we seek to understand these final four verses of chapter 1. Lord, there is so much here. Help us not to daydream and let our minds drift off to what we're going to have to eat for lunch today. Lord, forgive us of that sin, of not giving you your time. We ask, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today, and may the Word reach our hearts, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things that I want you to see in these verses of Scripture here, and we're going to be looking at other sub-points in regard to these three things. But I want you to see, first of all, the Bible says here in verse 29 that there is a brimming of human sin. Now, what do I mean by brimming? You've all probably carried a bucket of water that was filled to the brim. You know how easy that is to carry. I know that on many occasions, whenever we've mixed concrete, we'd have to carry buckets of water to dump in there, and sometimes you'd have two of them, and you'd try to be moving as quickly as you could to put it in there, and your pant legs were completely soaked because the water was brimming. You wanted to get as much water in the container as you could to get it over there to the mixer, but you got wet in the process that was really too full. Or maybe you were pouring your coffee and you spilled it. Or maybe Pepsi, you're trying to pour it in there. You know how it foams and overflows. Well, that's the word that we have here in verse 29, in the very first word, being filled. That's one word in the original language. It's the word plero. Plero means to fill up to overflowing. It's more than being full. It means to be too full. It's overflowing and spilling. You know, it's all right to drink a cup of coffee whenever it's up to the edge, but whenever you fill it too full and it's pouring over the handle and it's coming over the side, no one enjoys the cup of coffee. It may be the most aromatic, most wonderful flavor, but if you're spilling over the top and it's all over the cup, you just can't enjoy it. You have to stop and you have to clean it all up and make sure so you can sit down and enjoy that cup. Too much is always bad. Too much is always bad. You can have too much of a good thing. You can have too much. Sometimes I think in our churches, whenever we hear good, solid preaching, we sit here like a sponge and we soak it all in, and then we dry out over the week. And then we soak it all in, and then we just kind of dry out over the week. That's not how God wants us to be. God wants us to take in, and then He wants us to give it out. Not just dry out, but give it out. So that when you come back Sunday, you come because you were wrung out over the week, not because you dried out over the week. There's a big difference. You can set a sponge on the counter and it'll dry out over the week, but you have to use it and then have to use it over and over again. And that's the way God wants us to be. But whenever we are too full, that's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing. The brimming of human sin being filled up in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16. We read about the Amorites, that in the fourth generation they were going to be destroyed because at that particular point their iniquity was not full. In the Greek Septuagint, the word plero is used to talk about that particular word in the Hebrew. Full to overflowing. God was predicting the destruction of the Amorites, and when their iniquity was overflowing the brim, judgment was going to come, and they were going to be destroyed, and it did take place. The Bible records that. Secondly, we're going to see today the kind of people sin makes. The kind of people sin makes. And then thirdly, the axis of evil against God. I'm borrowing President Bush's phrase there. The axis of evil against God. We're going to see that in verse 32. There are three things that are a witness to the fact that the human heart, apart from Christ, is itself an axis of evil. Let's look, beginning first of all, about the fact that this world is brimming with human sin. It's about to overflow. God says that men are filled up with sin. Verse 29. They are filled up with 22, mind you, 22 different nouns and adjectives describing the fullness of man's sin. Now, when you read these things here, typically what happens, say, well, that one's not in my life. And that one's not in my life. Oh, certainly that thing, that's not in my life. And we have a tendency to exclude, but the Bible says here that the human heart is full, and he uses 22 nouns and adjectives to describe of what it's full of. Now let's understand this. It's not talking about Joe's heart down the street. It's not talking about Cinderella down the street here. It's talking about you and me, our human heart. So important that we not let this slip by. And this word filled indicates here, not only is it filled, but it's being filled. In other words, the heart spews forth its sin like a volcano erupting. That's the human heart. It is a volcano that is erupting sin, and it is continuously erupting. We keep hearing about the fact that Yellowstone National Park is set for a huge eruption. There is a large magma cell that's right underneath the park center. We see so many pictures of Old Faithful. But underneath the crust of the earth there, there's a large magma. And they say when it goes off, it is going to cause destruction all over the West. It is going to cause great, all the way to the East because of the plumes that will be carried by that eruption. And we say, oh, that'll be horrible, that terrible. We think about Mount St. Helens and the terrible destruction that came as a result of that and many, many lives that were lost and the destruction that came as a result of that volcanic. But there's something more destructive than that, folks. It's your heart. My heart. Now, do we believe that? Sometimes we say, I just can't believe my heart would do that. Believe me, the Word is clear. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Volcanic type sinfulness. Who can know it? God knows it. God knows how our heart works. And in this particular tense that we have here, the perfect tense, it's a perfect participle. It means completed action in the past that has continuing present results. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when Adam first sinned, it has continuing results up to the present. Your heart is a volcanic eruption of sin. And by God's grace and through His Spirit, we can find victory. But we will never be delivered until we get our new body. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day that Todd Brainerd doesn't have to go kneel down and say, God, I've sinned against You today. Lord, I just said something I shouldn't ought to say. Lord, I've done something today, or I thought this thought that I shouldn't think. And we're constantly having to go before His throne. Why? Because that old wicked heart's still there. It's still spewing forth its sinfulness. But the Holy Spirit of God's not satisfied with that. And the Holy Spirit of God brings conviction to the heart and says, go to the Lord Jesus and confess your sin. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the daily, hourly walk of the child of God. Because we understand the volcano that's inside. That's the best way I know to describe it. Now, these who had disapproved of holding God in their knowledge that we learned about in the previous verse, those who disapproved of holding God in their knowledge now have a void. They've thrown God out. We don't want You, God. We don't want Your truth, God. Now they have this void, and you know what it's filled with? Oh, it's filled with good things for mankind. Oh, it's filled with what we can do to help our brother and our sister. You know what it's filled with? Is sin. And that emptiness just fills up, and then it begins to overflow, begins to spew forth. That's our heart. No man can hold back the tidal wave of sin apart from salvation in Christ. Sticking the finger in the dike will not stop the action of sin. And that's what religion promises. Religion is nothing more than the old story about the Dutch boy who stuck his finger in the dike. Or maybe you've seen the commercial on television about the two people walking alongside the Hoover Dam. And it's got this little trickle coming out, and the guy takes his chewing gum and he sticks it in the hole and says, "That ought to do it." And he walks away, and the gum goes, pops out, and the stream comes stronger than it was before. That's how religion deals with sin. Religion comes along and takes the bubble gum and sticks it in the hole and says, "That ought to do it." But it never does. It can't. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ can do it. But religion grows and grows and grows by the day because people like the bubble gum treatment. They don't want to have transformation. They just want to fix their little problem. And they're going to die and go to hell with not only their little problem, but the big problem of sin. The result is that man lives and remains in a full condition of sin, brimming with sin, filled without restraint or limit. That is everyone that lives on this planet apart from Christ. Now we need to recognize that. That means that your dear aunt that's without Christ is brimming with sin. That means that your closest ally in life who is apart from Christ is brimming from sin. You know, it's so sad today how people, quote-unquote Christians, listen to people who are unsaved and give their knowledge and give their understanding the same weight as the Word. Does that make any sense to you? When the Bible describes the human heart as brimming with sin, what good can come from that? Oh no, we need to get our hearts back to the Word. We need to get our hearts filled with the Word. Now, I want you to know something about sin. This is our second point here. Sin makes a certain kind of people, without exception. Every person has the stamp of sin on it. Every baby that's born has the stamp of sin on it. Do you understand that? Every little precious child that comes into this world and you go up to the hospital and you walk along the nursery and you see those little beautiful babies in there, and they're so beautiful, but you know what? There's a stamp on every one of them. There's a stamp on every one of them. Now, most parents are willing to believe that at age 2. But it can't possibly be true when they're little like that. But you know what? The Bible's clear. Every child born in this world has that sin nature. Has that sin nature within him. And there are 22 nouns and adjectives here that has described the kind of people that sin makes. There is no denying the fact that man's heart is corrupt. Because he is corrupt, his product is corrupt. Can a water fountain send forth both salt water and fresh water? No, it cannot. It spews forth whatever product is generated by it. And the same thing is true about the human heart. But the fact is, people don't believe God's Word. People do not believe God's Word. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people sitting in churches all across America that do not believe what we're talking about today. They cannot accept it, especially when it comes to their own. Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20. Listen carefully to our Lord Jesus Christ. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now here were the Pharisees. They were upset. Your disciples, Jesus, are eating with unwashed hands. Now what they were saying was is that they had not gone through the temple ceremonial washings. The outward washings that they would go through. The clearest thing that I know of today is what the Muslims do before their 5 times of prayer. You've heard a lot probably about the university up in Minnesota that have put in special washing areas for the Muslims so that they can wash themselves ceremonially before their prayers 5 times a day. They do that, ceremonial washings. They wash their feet, they wash their hands. And they go through that before they go to prayer time. Well, the Pharisees were saying, the disciples have not had their ceremonial washings. They're defiled. And the Lord says, no, that's not what defileth a man. What defiles a man is what is spewed forth from the heart. See, that's where the Pharisees lived. They were spewing forth their traditions. They were spewing forth all this love of God nonsense when their heart was far from Him. What defiles us, folks? It's your wicked heart. That's what defiles. That's what contaminates. It's our heart. You can put on a good show. You can convince people. It's easy to do. It happens every day of the week. You think about all of these shooters that have shot up children in schools and so forth, and no one saw it coming. They didn't see it. They were convinced that these were good boys and girls. Actually, I don't think there has been any girls, has there? It's all been boys that have done all the killings. Had everybody convinced nothing was wrong with them. But I want to tell you something. The heart is deceitful and wicked. And that which proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart. It's the heart that contaminates. Now let's look at the stamp of the heart on everything that comes out of the heart. What's the stamp? There are 22 words here that I want us to look at very quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each one because I want to get through with this very quickly. But you see, first of all, it says that the heart or the life is filled with all unrighteousness. That word is adikia. It means every vice contrary to justice and righteousness. Every vice contrary to justice and righteousness. We hear about all kinds of scams, all kinds of people that are trying to get your money, to get my money, and they come up with all kinds of schemes to do so. What is that? That's just an evidence of the human heart. They didn't have to go to school to learn that, by the way. We need to understand that. Say, well, you know, they learned a lot of this stuff from bad people. No, they learned it from their own heart. The heart is the generator of all vice. That's what the Bible is saying. It's the generator. Secondly, porneia. We find this word here, fornication. Unlawful sexual sins of single and married people. That's what the word is. Sexual sin. Thirdly, poneria. In our English, it's translated here, wickedness. Poneria. It means depravity, iniquity, criminal behavior. Where does all the criminal behavior come from in the world? Violence has increased in the earth. You know what it is? It's because we've left the Word of God and the human heart now is unrestricted. It used to be in America that mom and dad would take the switch with the child out in the woodshed and they would blister him and said, I'm not going to put up with dirty language in my house. Or I'm not going to put up with stealing. You're not going to take your brother's stuff without him knowing it and put it in your stuff and then lie about it. I'm not going to put up with that. And so they would take them and they would deal with it. But today we talk them to death. Oh, you know what? You stole from your brother. So you're going to have to go to the corner and sit in time out. And I hope you think about that as you're sitting there, as 5 minutes of your day is taken away. And they're just waiting, counting the minutes. They're not learning anything today. Or over there counting to one, two, don't make me say three, 2.5. The human heart is taught to challenge authority. That's what you're doing. You're teaching your child to challenge authority when you use those kind of worldly discipline tactics. They don't work. The Bible says that there's a way to deal with it, but we've moved away from the Bible, so we're getting the consequences of moving away from the Bible. And so in the earth today, we have poneria, wickedness, iniquity, criminal behavior. Then we come to the fourth word that's given to us in our text, covetousness, pleonekia. It means intense love of gain. Intense love of gain, covetousness. You know, intense love of gain comes in so many different ways. So many different ways, and we don't have time to develop this, but nonetheless, this is a very broad word here. It even incorporates the idea of people who are like misers. They're keeping money, but the whole purpose of keeping that money is not for biblical things, it's for pleasure. It's for pleasure. So we'll have enough so we can go and please ourselves at some future date, which for most misers never comes. You know, you think about old Ebenezer Scrooge. The picture that Charles Dickens drew of the miser had all of his money in neat little rows inside of his safe where he could go each day and pull out his trays and count all of his money as if that was going to do him any good. That's the picture that's given to us here. Fifthly, we find in the English here, maliciousness. In the Greek, it's kakia, and it means the vicious disposition and desire rather than the exercise of. It's the idea, now understand this, it's the idea I'm going to do harm. You never do it, but you like to talk about it. I couldn't help but think about this actor that got caught leaving a voicemail for his daughter and what he was going to do whenever he got out to the West Coast. I'm going to fly in and I'm going to teach you a lesson. That's the word here. It's malicious talk. They never act on it. They never do it. But it's malicious talk nonetheless. The Bible says that's one of the signs of the wickedness of the human heart. Malicious talk. Vicious disposition and desires rather than the actual exercise of it. Then we come to number 6. Notice, please. Full of envy. Full of envy. Phothonos, to pine away. The pain felt. The malignity conceived in the sight when others are blessed. You know, there are people today that just pine away whenever somebody else gets something good and they don't get it. They just sit and just eats away at them. And every time they see them, they just kind of wrinkle their face up because they got something and I didn't get it. They were recognized and I should have been the one that was recognized. And they pine away. They pine away as they think about that. They lose weight. They're sickly because of that desire to have what that other person has. Oh, how about that? Then there's number 7, murder, phonos in the Greek. Slaughter, murder. And it's also translated hatred in our King James Bibles. It's translated 3 ways: murder, slaughter, and hating one another. Phonos, murder. Oh, how our world is filled with murder today. Today, how do we solve problems? If we don't like what our girlfriend did, or we don't like what our boyfriend did, we go meet them at the mall and we stab them. Do you realize we've had 4 mall stabbings in the past 2 weeks among teenagers? Teenagers! They couldn't handle the problem. So how do you handle it whenever you've moved away from God's Word and the human heart is allowed to do whatever it wants to do? You kill, you hurt, you murder. That's what happens. Number 8, we have the word debate. Debate. Eris. It means to strive, to contend with, to debate, variance, disputings. This is the person that, you know, never sees it. Never sees it the right way. They always take the wrong side. And they debate about it. They argue with you about it. You know, there's some people that you know you don't talk politics with. You just avoid it. Because they're always on the wrong side of it. It's that same idea. That same concept. Always contentious. No, it couldn't be that way. No, the way you said it, it couldn't be that way. Or if someone says, you know, this is the answer that we're going to give to this particular, oh, that's the wrong way to do it. That's the wrong way to do it. And they take the contentious side every time. Not based upon knowledge, as the word indicates here. It's based upon opinion. You know, we live in the world of the blogger today. I've got a little article in the projector this time about the world of blogging today and how weak and how ill-thought most of the blogging is today. People are not thinking biblically. They just spout their opinions. We can thank Bill O'Reilly for that. You know, if you wish to opine. And so people get on there and they just spout their opinions. And they have multitude of words. What does the Bible say about the multitude of words? Who's behind a multitude of words? Fools. That's the generation that we live in. The multitude of words. We get online, I'm going to give my opinion on this. Who cares what you think? If it's not rooted in the Word of God, what you think doesn't matter. Now, if you're going to share God's Word, but guess what? They won't be inviting you. You start putting Bible verses on that kind of stuff, and it's amazing how you get skipped over. They want to hear your opinion. And that's where we are today, where opinion is more important than revelation. Number 9, dolos, deceit, falsity. It comes from the Greek word delo, which means to take with a bait. To take with a bait. Oh, I want to tell you something, folks. This is the mastermind of the devil right here, because he is the chief one when it comes to deceit. Deceitfulness. Oh, how we deceive people. Translated guile in the Gospels. Deceit, craft, subtlety. These are all words that are used in our New Testament from this word delo. Dolos, lying. Number 10, notice please, malignity. Malignity. This particular Greek word is a disposition producing bad, evil habits. A disposition of producing bad, evil habits. It means malignity of the mind, which leads its victim to put the worst construction on every action, ascribing to the best deeds the worst motives, and vice versa. That's all behind this word malignity here. Where do bad habits come from? They come from a bad heart. Where do bad habits come from? They come from a bad heart. Let's go on to number 11. Whisperers. Oh, here's one. Whisperers. Psithristes. That's the Greek word. Big long word. It means secret detractors. Those who pretend secrecy and carry out accusations against men, whether true or false, but at the same time putting their arm around and befriending the individual that they are destroying with their tongue. You better watch out for those kind of people. Better watch out for those kind of people. There are people in this world that will put their arm around you and will talk sweet talk to you, and if you're gullible, you'll believe it. And the whole time they're out there destroying with their tongue. Destroying with their tongue. That's the stamp of the heart. That's the stamp of the heart. That's what the heart produces. That's the kind of people that are produced by sin. Another way you put it is clandestine gossip. You know? Hey, by the way, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, there you are. How you doing? Oh, it's so good to see you. Get away from them. Man, I tell you what, they're the sorriest individual. You know what? You're the creep. You're the creep. Because you've got the stamp of your heart all over you, living that kind of life. Notice the 12th thing here. 12th thing, backbiters. Katalelos, evil speakers, false accusers, slanderers of absent men. This goes a step further than the previous word. Slanderers of absent men, destroying character. Number 13. Haters of God, theostuges, haters of God, condemners of sacred things, despisers of providence, scorners of truth. Oh, that's the word here, haters of God. I want to tell you something, America is full of them. They're full of haters of God. We face it even here at Santa Rosa Christian School, where we're challenged at Bible time. Why are you teaching Bible? Well, we're a Christian school. But you know what's happened today? Christian schools have degenerated to the point where the Bible is not the heart and focus of the school. And as a result, people don't even think you should teach the Bible in a Christian school. Well, here's a news flash. As long as God gives us the liberty, we're going to continue to keep the Bible as the focus of Santa Rosa Christian School. We may shrivel up and it just be our kids. But by God's grace, we're going to keep the Bible, the Word of God, as the center and focus. And if something were to happen to me and I died today, I would hope that God would raise up one of you to carry on that purpose. Amen? Why have a Christian school if the Bible is not going to be the center focus of that? Doesn't make any sense, does it? And yet there are thousands of them all across America. Thousands of them that don't honor the Lord and His Word, and they become haters of God and they don't even know it. Let's move on. Number 14, We get our word hubris from this particular word, despiteful. Hubristes, it means to be stormy, abusive, hateful, excessively critical, virulent. Oh, wow. We see all of these kind of things happen in public. They're on television every night. People who cannot control their anger, they're stormy. It doesn't take much and you set them off. Boom! Like a volcano going off. They don't know how to handle a situation. Situation arises and their first reaction is explosion. Rather than, you know, wait a minute, maybe I need to think this through here. Maybe I don't have all the facts. They get abusive, angry, hateful, critical, excessively critical in that. Watch out for that. Number 15. Notice, please. Proud boasters. It's one word. Two words are used in the King James to describe it. It's one word in the Greek. And it's an interesting word. Huper ephanos. Huper in the Greek is where we get our word hyper from. We get our word hyper from that word. And you know what hyper is. Hyper is a protier in the dugout. You ever seen the five-year-olds? They have to put two coaches in there nowadays because all they do is they want to climb the fence. I had to walk out and pull a 15-year-old off the fence the other day on field five. This kid was climbing up and he was at the top and he was hollering down to his girlfriend, "Hey, look at me!" And I said, "I'm not impressed. Get down. We don't climb fences. Let me show you." And I took him over to the gate and I said, "Here's where we go into the field, through the gate. You know this big wide thing here? But don't climb on my fences." All right, just hyper. No control of self. And the idea here is to indulge in pride or self-gratification beyond the pale. What do we have today? We have self-esteem in high drive. And you know what? Even the secularists today are realizing that it's gone too far. We're narcissistic in our society. Everything is based on what makes me happy. We have hedonists that are in our churches today that every decision they make is emotional and all of them relate to me. What makes me happy? What makes me happy? Whenever we ought to be developing attitudes of humility, instead we're developing attitudes of self-esteem. That's part of the stamp, part of the human stamp. It used to be held down, our word, held down. But instead of holding down the bad behavior, today we hold down the truth. There's a big difference. There's a big catastrophic change that's taken place in our world. Instead of holding down error, we hold down truth. And this is the natural consequence. Let's move on to the next word here. Number 16 that's given to us in the text here. Inventors of evil. Inventors of evil. Oh, wow, what a tremendous word we have here. Eleison. Eleison. The idea here is related to the previous word in the sense that we want to be seen, self-esteem. We want us to be seen, but we want to move beyond that. We want people to take our word as being authoritative in our self-esteem mode. In other words, you better listen to what I have to say. And that's what we have on our college campuses today. We are spouting error, and we do it in authoritative fashion, professor with student body. And as a result, the next generation is impregnated with the self-esteem philosophy, and then they're going to take that and they're going to pass that down to the next generation. It pushes out all truth, this self-esteem philosophy. And it carries over into braggarts, vanity. They love to talk, love to be heard, love to let others know what they did in the past, present, and future, and what they're going to do. But that's what it is. This is the word. This constant spewing of vanity, and people give authority and credence to these individuals. They carry weight in our society. It doesn't make any sense, but it does. Oh, originators of vice, wicked, immoral, sinful customs, rites, and fashions. Beginners of abominable religious orgies, degrading shows of the flesh, theater, gambling. These are all related here. in this idea that's given to us here of inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. Then we come to the next word here, disobedient to parents. And this is where we're going to close today. Disobedient to parents. Asunatos. It means rebellious against authority. Indifferent to authority. Do you realize today that there is this sense in among our children and the generation that's coming up is that we don't owe our parents anything. I don't have to listen to them. I don't have to take care of them. They've got money. They'll take care of themselves. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have myself a real good time. That's behind this word disobedient to parents. It is a complete indifference to rule and authority. Irreverence to duty in regard to parents. What a photograph of the youth of today. This appalling rejection of parental control is developing in amazing fashion in these last days, just as God said it would. 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 and 2 talk about this very same thing. Disobedience to parents. It goes beyond childhood. Please understand this. This thought here goes beyond childhood disobedience. It goes into a lifelong pattern of indifference against rule and authority. It has to be confronted. Our prisons are full of them, of people who are indifferent to rule and authority. And in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse. And we didn't even make it through but just to 18 of these things. All the different wickedness, all the different iniquity expressed by the human heart, that is the stamp. That's the kind of people sin makes. That's the kind of people sin makes. God deliver us through His blood. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray as we continue this message at a later date that it would be fresh in our hearts to understand that our wicked heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And no matter how rosy we paint the picture of people we know, oh, there are certain people that are so nice and sweet, but when it comes down to it, if they're apart from Christ, they have a dirty, wicked heart. Now, Father, we pray that You would use Your Word to touch hearts and lives. Help us to realize that our heart is pictured here. It's not somebody else's, not somebody else's child, not somebody else's heart, but our heart, the heart of our children. Lord, help us let the Word ring in our ears and go through our hearts that we might take Your Word to be true and let every man be a liar. Pray that You would work today through the preaching and teaching of Your Word that's been given. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.